Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone. I'm Steve Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. Today, I'm going to talk to a friend named Vance Patterson, and you may not recognize his name, but he has a very important ministry with Young Life, and also Young Life changed the course of his life. And this can happen and should happen to young people. We pray to God that it'll happen, and you're going to be fascinated by his testimony and by what God has called him to do to reach the continent of Africa and the Middle East. So stay tuned.
Journey Interrupted is a film about how five people's lives were affected by their pursuit of identity. It's a compassionate film beginning with their childhood stories of abuse and identity confusion, which led to an identity outside of biblical sexuality. As you watch this film, begin your own journey of compassion and understanding as Jesus walks with them from beginning to end. Share with these individuals as you hear, you matter, you belong, and you are loved. Go to journeyinterrupted.com.
Welcome back, and thank you, Vance, for taking time to come to our podcast studio and just share with us a little bit.
Thank you, Steve. It's wonderful to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you about these topics.
Well, you've told me the story of how you came to Christ, and I think it's fascinating, and that's why I wanted to do a podcast. So tell my listeners what happened to you when you were a junior in high school.
Thank you. Yeah, it's interesting. If you look at the mission statement for Young Life, I would be the poster child for what Young Life is all about, which is an unchurched kid who's out there lost, will not darken the door of a church, won't show up at the youth events, any programs. Young Life is an organization that takes the incarnational evangelistic approach and comes to the kids, goes to the high school campus, builds relationships. And I was your typical lost, wild, and deeply skeptical kid. I'd come out of a faithless background. My mom and dad had both left the faith of their childhood. My mother was raised Roman Catholic. My father was raised in the Pentecostal world, and they both walked away. So I didn't have any biblical knowledge or any experience at all about who Jesus really was. And it was through the course of some friends, Christian kids at the school, and some volunteer Young Life leaders who came into my life and began to win the right to be heard.
And tell us what happened, especially with your friend, I think you told me, drinking buddy in high school.
That's right.
What happened to him?
Well, he is in the ministry all these years later. He was a kid who had moved in from New York City and was truly a wild kid. He was a good-hearted kid, but very, very wild. And he got mixed up with my bunch. And we were nice guys, but wild guys. And Steve had two different lifestyles going. He was running around with us, but he was also going to Young Life clubs on Monday night, and we didn't know that.
And then he went to a youth camp and confronted you.
That's right. This would be in the late 70s, early 80s. He went to a Young Life summer camp. He was invited by a kid who was a Christian, very well-liked, popular kid. And our school principal back in those days would give this particular student names of kids who had moved into town. And he would ask the student to call these new kids, and he would ask them to invite them to Young Life. And that principal was also the president of the Principals Association at the time, so he had great influence. He was in a tremendous sphere where he could operate and promote Christianity, but he had to be careful about it. So he got this one kid to invite Steve to go to Young Life. Steve started going, and then they took him to summer camp at a place called Silver Cliff in Colorado in Buena Vista. And it was there that he took his first steps to follow Christ. And it was that summer that I discovered the decision that he had made, and I was aghast when he let me know that he was a Christian.
And then he confronted you, and his comment changed your life.
That is correct. We were cruising down Pipeline Road in my hometown in the summer, and I saw his car. It was a 79 Vega with rust. I remember it very well. And we pulled up in a parking lot in front of the pool hall and the ice cream store. And we rolled down our windows, and I said, Steve, where have you been all summer? And he looked me in the eye, and he said, well, I was at Young Life camp. And I said, are you kidding me? Please tell me that you didn't find Jesus. And he looked me right in the eye, and he said, I did, and I hope you do too.
And then shortly after that, you accepted Christ.
It was a few months later. He got myself and a couple of other best buddies to go to Young Life. And when Young Life's operating well and correctly, it really is a mixture of Christian kids knowing how to utilize Young Life to invite their friends and adult leaders. And so it was through Steve and some other kids that myself and my best friend got invited in. We went to a weekend camp in East Texas called Pine Cove that Young Life had rented out. And it was there that I started my walk with Christ.
Now, I've known of Young Life all my life. I've never personally been involved with it, but I know it goes back to after World War II and has had an enormous influence, especially in the evangelical world. Wasn't Billy Graham associated with it?
He was, in a sense. Of course, that era raised up a lot of opportunities for Jim Rayburn, the founder of Young Life, Billy Graham, Bill Bright, Dawson Trotman, you know, a lot of
navigators.
Absolutely. So they actually all knew each other. And Glen Eyrie, the property that the Navigators has now in Colorado Springs, was first offered to Young Life. And it was through Billy Graham, that relationship. And Young Life passed on it. And Dawson Trotman and his group took it up. And that's how they went.
Well, I had the privilege of being there once, and I remember it as being a beautiful place. But Young Life has had a great influence, and now you've come up through the ranks, so to speak. You've had a number of different roles, and now you're in charge of Africa and the Middle East. So tell me about that.
Yes, this is very new. So I started off as a volunteer leader with Young Life, and for 8 years I volunteered, and I was in college, and then I just was a professional volunteering. I became an area director in Texas for 12 years, and then the marketing director for four more, so 24 years of my life went by. I stepped out of Young Life in 2005, 2006, and got into the business for mission movement and started a company, as you know. And just recently, Young Life came back around and asked me if I would be willing to accept a new position they'd created. The way it came about is quite interesting. I've been serving with my wife, Lauren, on the Young Life Committee, which is similar to a board for Africa and the Middle East. And I've also been doing business and working with other ministries in the Middle East for a number of years. And it was through a conversation when we were trying to decide how to raise money for kids to go to camp in Africa that I made a comment that that's something I wish I could do every day. That comment led to a much larger discussion here a few months ago, and I just recently accepted the position to help do the development work for Africa and the Middle East. Young Life in Africa is tripling every 3 years. They're just right at 1 million kids right now. Most of the work is in sub-Saharan Africa, and we have some work going on in the Middle East as well, so it's very exciting times.
Wow. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we saw that kind of growth here in North America? But how similar is Young Life in the African context to what we would be familiar with here in the U.S.?
You know, principle-wise, it's identical. It's very simple. It's the idea of kind of a Philippians 2 type of a lifestyle, you know, where Christ came to us. You know, Jesus humbled himself and entered into our world. And so that's the same principle around the world for Young Life, which is to walk into the world of the kids and build relationships and over time have the credibility to walk with them and answer questions and lead them to Christ and disciple them. So in that sense, it's very, very similar. The other tenet that people know Young Life for is a lot of fun. So you'll see laughing and smiling faces, whether you're in the U.S. or Africa or Israel or Morocco or anywhere else in the world. So a lot of fun, a lot of laughs, singing, skits, games, and summer camp. So very similar. It's much more modest in some ways as far as not having the facilities, particularly on the camp side. So we rent out facilities in Africa rather than own property.
And how do you fund this? Because Africa, of course, is an impoverished continent, even though it has great resources. And the lifestyle would be, of course, very different than what we have here in America.
Yes. Well, we have a couple of different strategies. A lot of the funding starts outside of Africa, in the United States, Europe, but particularly the United States. There's a big initiative moving towards how do we create sustainability inside the country and what expectations might there be to raise support inside of the countries themselves. And so the primary funding is through giving outside of Africa.
And what is your vision now that you're stepping into this? I mean, it's already tripling every 3 years. Are you wanting to quadruple it every 2 years, or what is your vision?
You know, first thing is to understand where the Lord is moving and where Young Life is welcomed in and where we can step straight in and begin to develop ministry. In some countries, that might not be possible for different reasons, particularly as you move throughout to other parts of Africa, North Africa, the Middle East, dealing with the sensitivities. So I think my first step is to do an assessment of what is happening on the ground in various countries. My vision would be that we continue that exponential growth and actually increase it. And I don't think that's something that we do. I think that's something the Holy Spirit is behind. I really envision a time when the majority of the support is coming in country and then just creating some sustainability models. As far as in my role, I feel like what we need to have is hundreds of thousands of people who never know me, never know my name, don't know my face, but they know what's happening and the opportunity, and they're spreading the word about what's happening in Africa, what's happening in the Middle East, and they're getting behind it with their prayer, their finances, their time, their connections. And unless that happens, I don't know how we're going to get there, because Rolodex fundraising and development only goes so far. So I'm praying for ways that this story is told, and maybe this podcast is the first way. Our job is to just try to stay resourced and stay right on the front of the wave. Last summer, we had 120 camps in Africa. And so that particular opportunity is growing leaps and bounds. In the Middle East, in Israel, Palestine, we had 12 summer camps. And so there's some exciting things happening throughout that region. And I'm a big believer that you get kids away for a weekend camp or a summer camp and it'll change their life. So I would love to see that part of the ministry grow.
Well, I never had the opportunity to go to Young Life Camp, but I did go to denominational camps. Mm-hmm. And you're right, they were life-changing in various ways, you know, of course, spiritually. But now that I think of it, at 14 years old, I was involved with the camp newsletter, such as it was. Mm-hmm. And I marked that as the beginning of my journalism career. Yeah. From there, I got involved in school and so on and so forth. So I hadn't really thought about that, but camp, you know, even affected my choice of a profession.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of the things I love about Young Life Camp that's really unique is it's just a few days out of a year of a whole relationship with students. The Young Life leader takes the student to camp and comes home with them. So as you're going into the camp, you're building the relationship. Wonderful things and discussions can occur at camp. And then the discipleship can follow post-camp because the leader comes home and continues that relationship. And I think that's a wonderful discipleship model. And in Africa, they have camps in all types of settings. They rent facilities. They actually have mobile camps on wheels that can roll into a village and unfold into a mobile camp. It's quite fascinating. So one of the things that's a little bit different between American and African Young Life is there's a little bit of entrepreneurialism going on as far as just how to address the opportunity, and you have to think in new and fresh ways.
That's good. Well, I know that a lot of my listeners are going to be interested in finding out more about Young Life. Maybe they want to find out if there's one in their area or maybe starting one in their area. So if someone wanted to get hold of you or to find out more about Young Life, what would they do?
Well, you can go to younglife.org and there's all types of information there, including a location opportunity where you can type in different locations around the world to pull up offices, addresses, names, and start to drill down that way. You can always contact me directly as well.
And tell them how to do that.
vpatterson@intl.younglife.org.
That's a mouthful, but the nice thing about a podcast is you can stop it, back it up, and listen to it a second time.
There you go.
So I thank you, Vince Patterson, for taking time to share your passion about Young Life. It's very obvious. And also on a personal basis, thank you for your friendship. It's meant a lot to me over the last couple of years. And thank you to my listeners for listening today to The Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Steve Strang.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.